1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
It's time now for part 7 in our 16-part series, Summer Vacation Tips. Joining us from the 5th Annual Summertacular in Western Estates, I should say, is Bobby Dooley and her husband, Steve. And houseboating is a fun idea for families this time of year if you live around a lake or there are houseboats available on a river nearest you. This can be a fun trip, and it can be economical, right, Bobby?
You know, Phil, it can be. There are a few problems. It's funny that you brought this up because Steve and I and two very dear friends of ours, Janice and Ray Greeley, rented a houseboat 3 weeks ago up at Lake Shasta. And we did run into some problems. So before you rent a houseboat, I guess you need to understand lifestyles and lifestyle differences.
In what way?
Well, Steve and I both enjoy sunbathing in the nude. Now, there's nothing sexual about this, and you always have to get that on the table with anybody that doesn't understand nude sunbathing. We've always done that on vacation. We enjoy it. It is completely non-sexual. It is for health purposes. Steve and I are both very cut. We're in good shape. We do a little bit of body sculpting. And so we are in very good shape. We decided to do the houseboat with the Greeleys because we thought it would be fun, a break from the kids. They've got two, we have three, and being away with another couple is a lot of fun.
We're very cut and a lot of shape.
We are. Hold on, Steve.
Is that Steve?
Yes, that's my husband, Steve.
And so he's saying that you guys are in shape and you like to sunbathe nude. I can understand that.
Well, the reason why I bring up the nude sunbathing is this. I told the Greeleys, when we did get to the landing at Newsom's Landing in Lake Shasta, and we got settled, that Steve and I sunbathed nude, and that we would use the front deck near the bow off of the master bedroom to sunbathe in the nude for a few hours a day. And we told them this because we didn't want them to be shocked or upset.
Okay, that's understandable.
All right. So we were thrilled that they weren't shocked, but what started the problem was this. Janice hits me with this. And I can feel my heart racing a little bit. She wanted to know if it would be all right.
Do you need a drink of water or something?
I do, Phil. Could you hold on?
All right, we're talking with the Dooleys about a houseboat they rented with some friends of theirs up at Lake Shasta. Go ahead. You all right?
Yes. I'm fine. I'm fine, Phil. Well, she hit me with this. She said, she asked, would it be all right for her and Ray to sunbathe nude with us as well?
She wanted to know if she and Ray could sunbathe nude.
Yes. Well, I almost felt like I was going to faint. I don't know if you know the feeling, Phil, when the blood literally leaves your head. I had to lie down. We are on the boat, and I'm getting in my suit, and she says, do you mind if Ray and I join you and Steve when you sunbathe nude? And
well, what was upsetting about this? This is not sexual, right?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with sex. You see, I'm very cut. And if you know anything about body sculpting and shaping, Steve and I are very cut. We're fit. I have low body fat. Steve does, too. I mean, the calipers on us are pretty tight. So here's where the problem came in. Janice and Ray are very nice people. We've agreed to socialize with them, even though they're not really our kind of people, either physically or emotionally. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. We socialize with them because Janice has a sister who's high up in the film business. And we thought it would be a good contact if we got any film location shooting at Western Estates. So we put aside the fact that they are, frankly, a little bit overweight. They're really not very pleasant to look at. Janice is probably 140, 145. She's really huge for her height. And her husband, well over 200 pounds. They're not cut.
So you didn't want them nude sunbathing. Why then?
Because
they're overweight?
We felt that...
For them to be nude in front of us...
Steve, I'll do it. That for them to be nude in front of us, it would be difficult for us to look at them.
Well, that sounds, you know, a little...
Well, Phil, we all know what happens to... Do you recall what happened to the poor young ball player this weekend?
Yes, I do.
Steve has heart disease in his family, and even though he had a body scan and he's in good health, I'm terrified that if he sees these people nude, we could be looking at some kind of thrombosis or coronary episode. I mean, they are very big.
So you didn't want these people sunbathing with you nude because they're tough to look at?
I think anybody who's cut, anybody who's into body sculpting, as Steve and I are, if we're supposed to be on vacation, this isn't an education in how frightening, you know, people could...
It's just frightening, Mr. Henry.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. You can hear that Bobby and Steve are in the middle of the summer-tacular that is going on now at Western Estates. 1-800-449-8686. So are you telling me you did not allow them to take their suits off? Is that right?
We had them keep their suits on, right. And
so you did not allow two people. Did you ask them permission?
Well, we didn't have to ask them permission, Phil, because we are in very good shape, and I know where you're going with this question.
Well, here's where I'm going with the question. If they have to ask you permission if they can sunbathe nude, why don't you have to ask permission of them?
Because we are cut. And
what do you mean by cut? I don't understand this.
We're in the body sculpting. We got good shape, low body fat.
We have good shape and low body fat. Janice, you know, she said she didn't care what we thought, and that we had no right to tell them.
Well, I agree with that.
Well, I don't agree with that. If we're in good shape and we're cut and we're pleasant to look at, why do we have to get permission? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, why do they have to get permission? Because they're not?
Because I think when you are as large as they are, when you are as frightening to look at as they're...
You keep saying frightening. You're friends with them.
But it doesn't mean we take our clothes off around them, and they don't take their clothes off around us. We told them that we would be sunbathing nude, but they can tell that we're in shape. All right? And
so you don't need permission, but they need permission from you.
Yeah, they're very big.
Because they're large. Now, she came out, and you have to hear the rest of the story.
I'm assuming they got nude and they didn't ask permission.
They said that we didn't have any right to tell them, blah, blah, blah. They walk out onto the sun deck without their suits on. I let out a... Steve told me later that I let out some type of...
It's like she screamed.
He told them to put the suits back on right now. They refused. And then I had no choice but to call the Lake Patrol.
All right, here's what I'm saying. You call the Lake Patrol...
So, Phil, sunbathing nude is a big part of Steve and my life. Janice and Ray just wanted to jump on the bandwagon. You see what I'm saying? They just want to jump on the bandwagon. We have been sunbathing nude for at least 4 years in our backyard, and they want to be on the bandwagon.
What are you calling the Lake Patrol for?
I think there's a big difference between Steve and I, who care about our bodies and who told them right from the get-go we would be nude sunbathing and we're cut, and them not getting our permission without any warning, walking out completely looking frightening. She has the cellulite, her husband... I don't know.
Go ahead, tell him.
What do you want to tell me?
Her husband's not circumcised.
I didn't hear it.
Her husband is not circumcised, and that was absolutely disgusting.
Well, what? Wait. You didn't ask their permission, so you called Lake Patrol, and what happened?
Well, by that point, I grabbed her by the hair, and she grabbed me by mine. We were in a fight. We were pulling each other around the room by our hair. She's much bigger than I am, because I'm cut. I have more upper body strength. The Lake Patrol separated us. They told us they wouldn't file charges. Then they tell us to put our suits back on. And when I told him that Janice was frankly hideous-looking nude, he says to me, and I'm quoting directly, "You're no bargain." Well, again, I feel the blood leave my head. And again, I feel as if I'm going to faint. No one has ever said anything like that to me in my life.
That's really rude, Mr. Henry.
So obviously they're higher gaze up there, which is one more reason why we don't want to go back there. We've demanded our...
Why do they have... All right, let's slow down. They hire gays because the guy didn't think you were any bargain nude.
My wife's very cut and very pretty.
Phil, I'm in good shape. So for them to say to me, nude, I'm no bargain. Now, we've demanded our money back on the trip. We want the Greeleys to pay damages for our lost revenue.
Are you telling me you filed a civil claim?
No, but we don't have to go to court. We're just demanding it from them.
I thought we were going to talk about a nice vacation.
And I did too, Phil. And this was something that came up in the middle of our summer-tacular. You can hear what fun we're having. I'm cut. So is Steve.
All right, you're cut meaning?
We're physically fit. We're fit. And we look good, dude, to take our clothes off.
But the Greeleys, Phil, when they took their clothes off, I thought I was going to have a low blood sugar episode. I mean, it's that dangerous. Now, I understand that nobody is that ugly nude, but the fact is... We didn't want them to take their suits off. They didn't get our permission. They did anyway. The Lake Patrol comes out. I'm in a hair-pulling match with her, and all because she didn't get my permission.
But again, you didn't get her permission to take your suits off.
We're cut. and we're in very good shape.
We're pleasant to look at. That's the whole point, why you keep asking questions.
The Greeleys, in my opinion, have to pay for the rest of the Western, or the rest of the Western states going to know about Ray's.
We'll tell about circumcision.
All right. Are we going to... I don't know where to begin with you. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Forgive me for not letting you guys in on this, folks, because we were going to talk... Okay, we can probably not play the music. We don't have to play the music because this is a totally different thing. They go up and go sunbathing nude, and they look good so they can sunbathe nude with their friends, but their friends can't sunbathe nude with them. Why? Because their friends are fat and frightening looking without clothes on. And so Bobby called the Lake Patrol on them. And now they want civil damages. They want them to pay for the thing. They feel like, this is an interesting thing about how, like, can you turn that down, please? Turn it down, Jeff. It's interesting how some people think they can do what they want with life, but other people got to get permission. Bobby and Steve don't have to get permission to take their clothes off on a houseboat, but the Greeleys, who are paying equal rent, do. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I mean, it's a matter, to, in my opinion, of doing what you want to do, what you're entitled to do, okay, but telling other people that they can't sunbathe nude.
Well, I think the Greeleys are in shock. I'm concerned about their children. If the kids have seen them nude, I think it's damaging. I really...
Oh, don't be silly, okay?
Phil, nude sunbathing is done by people... Steve, what would you...
Nude sunbathing is a health regimen that is done by people who are healthy and cut.
And we're very cut. I don't know if anybody listening to your program is aware of what it's like to be cut. And
I got the cut thing, but the Greeleys are too fat to be nude in front of you.
No, Phil, they're too fat to be nude, I think, in front of people until they get themselves in shape.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Shora, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Shora?
Ma'am?
Go ahead, dear. You're on the air.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You with your cut body,
mm-hmm.
I think you're the sickest
mm-hmm.
woman I've heard on the air for in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Osama bin Laden also
mm-hmm.
thinks that things in America are wrong because we have freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to eliminate
mm-hmm.
our freedom, just like he's trying to tell people what they should look like, how they should act,
what country
what
are you
they
from?
Should wear or not.
Are you from Arabia?
No, the lady's from the Ukraine.
God, no, I'm not.
Well, I don't think
I'll
that,
tell you,
you know.
You make me ill.
I'm very cut.
Yeah, and people...
And do you know about weightlifting or anything like that?
Oh, honey, I know a lot of stuff about that.
Well, can I ask you a question? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Ukraine.
Ukraine.
That's not the point. The point is
the
that
women
I
there,
live in place
mm-hmm.
when we had no freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And United States is great because
mm-hmm.
everybody's got their freedom.
That's very
and
good.
And you shouldn't have the right
mm-hmm.
to tell anybody what to do, how to bathe, something,
mm-hmm.
what to eat, or anything.
You are you saying that I'm acting like a communist? Is that what you're saying?
I'm
because
telling
I think
you
that
should
is,
be ashamed of yourself.
That is absolutely wrong. What I'm simply
right.
saying is I have the
I'm
right
telling
to...
telling you, if you're an American,
mm-hmm.
I'm ashamed to be an American.
Don't you think I have the right to tell people whether they can take their clothes
no,
off?
No, but I think you have the right to do what you want to do, and you should never have the right to tell someone else how they should live their life. Who are you, and who gave you the right...
Are you larger than
else.
A... Can I ask you a question? Are you larger than a... is your name Svetlana?
My name is not Svetlana. It doesn't matter what my name is.
Well, I'm calling you
and
by
I'm
your name. I'm trying to be...
And I would never tell anybody what they should or shouldn't do.
Are you larger
people
than a size 5?
People should be proud the kind of human beings they are, not how cut they are.
Are you larger than a size 4?
You have nothing upstairs.
No.
All what you have, it's your cuts.
I'm cut. And
did you hear what the lady said? She says you got nothing upstairs.
Well, I guess you mean I'm stupid. Is that right?
That, exactly.
Are you larger
a
than
little a brainless?
Are you larger exactly. than a size 4?
Honey, we're not talking about my size.
Oh, there
and
it is.
No,
Steve.
I'm not
yeah,
larger
I figured,
than size 4.
I figured as
how
much
about that?
You're not. No, then I've got no problem with you taking your clothes off in front of me.
Honey, I wouldn't take my clothes off in front of you if you paid me, because you don't deserve to have to sunbathe with me or anybody else for that matter.
Well, I think, sure, coming from another country...
please, Phil, don't make me sick.
I just want to say I'm very happy that she said what she said about our great country.
Oh, get you.
Oh, our country is the best place in the world.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
The freedom that we have,
yes,
no one should have the right to take away from us.
You think you're a Yankee Doodle Dandy or something?
No, I just agree with this fine lady from another country who is... What do you mean, Yankee Doodle Dandy?
You think you're George M. Cohen or something.
We're just simply saying, if you're bigger than a 4, you better not see the clothes hit the floor. If you're bigger than an 8, then you better...
Okay.
Who gave you the right or permission to tell somebody what they should look like, how they should sunbathe, what they should eat, what they should read, and how should they raise their children?
You
concentrate on your life, and if those friends are not good enough for you, get yourself another friend.
Well, many of you Eastern Europeans...
If you're lucky enough that somebody wants to be your friend...
You know, sir, would you do me a favor?
Have
just
a good day.
Would you simply say these words, children of the night, listen to the beautiful music they make. Oh, God.
What's that supposed to mean?
Sound like Bela Lugosi.
So what are we going to get here now? Smart asses from the two-cut people?
Oh, my God, I'm an American, and you let a woman hailing from a communist nation tell me that I have no right.
You got every right you got in the world, but you can't tell somebody else they can't get nude. 1-800-449-8686. Denise, go ahead.
I just want to tell this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mrs. Dooley?
My name's Bobby Dooley, yes.
Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Get a life.
I've got a life.
I'm from America.
I got a great life.
You know what?
Yeah.
You agreed to go on this vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You were using these people because you wanted something out of it.
No, that is not true.
Yes, it is.
Well,
you said that the lady is related to somebody in the film business.
Yep, these were people you wouldn't particularly hang out with. You agreed to pay half the cost. You took your clothes off. If you didn't like what this woman or her husband looked like, all you had to do was turn the other cheek. You have no right to sit there and say, well, I'm beautiful.
Well, how rude.
I'm married to a bodybuilder. I know what a beautiful body is. And everybody's... Oh, that's cute.
That was really nice.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're sorry. Burping in somebody's ear.
That's really great while you're live on a national radio broadcast.
That really goes to show your class, lady. You have none. Get a life. You want to sunbathe nude? Do it alone, because these people probably didn't want to look at you either.
I don't think so. Otherwise, why would they ask to join us? And they saw, they know how cut I am. Okay?
You are really stuck on yourself.
No, I'm not stuck on myself.
No, you're really stuck on yourself.
Just because you're married to someone that pumps steroids.
That's a very serious... That's a very...
I'll let him answer that.
But she's on steroids.
Hi. Hello?
Yes.
You're
a bodybuilder?
Hello?
You're a bodybuilder?
I used to be, and I'm very healthy now, and I competed. Hello?
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
I stay healthy. Very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I? No, absolutely not. But I know one thing.
Well, you know.
What matters in life isn't...
Mm-hmm.
Can I finish?
I'm listening to you.
You're saying every time the guy tries to say something.
What matters in this great world is humanity. You have no sense of humanity.
Let me finish. I'm supposed to sit there and look at these two beasts.
Listen. Could you please listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you unfortunately have a horrendous accident to where you can't get cut anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't exercise anymore, and you get soft, and you gain weight, which happens to most people, with the exception of Cher, after the age of 50. It's a gradual process. What happens to you if that were to happen, cut friends are going to look at you like a fat idiot,
which you obviously are. If you have steroids in your system, your testicles will turn into raisins.
That's what I read in a book.
All right. Thanks for 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley went sunbathing nude. They feel like they have the right because they're cut, but fat people, especially their friends.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're back with the Dooleys from Western Estates. And this is part six in our 17-part series, Summer Vacation Tips. All right. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, you you were sunbathing nude in front of some friends of yours on a houseboat. And you told them that you were going to sunbathe nude. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the story.
I need to recap it for the audience. Your friends are too fat. You didn't want them taking their clothes off. You got into a fight with the woman. Am I right about that?
You know something, Phil? She wouldn't put her clothes back on. I grabbed her by her hair. She grabbed me by my hair first. And then I grabbed her hair, and that's when we started swinging each other around the room.
With no clothes on.
I was sunbathing nude, I told them, but she's a big fat woman pulling me around the room, and then the lake patrol shows up, and the first thing they see, of course, and oh my God, aren't I proud of this, the first thing they see is Janice's big fat rear end sweeping by the door of the master bedroom. Now, let me tell you what we've decided to do. I told the Greeleys that we will pick up the cost of the houseboat, the lost deposit.
We lost our deposit, Mr. Hendry.
Why?
Because we left early. So we're picking up the cost of the houseboat, the lost deposit, and the cleaning charge, and we really shouldn't. And that's a total of $3,500 for the week. But, and there's a proviso.
Okay, so is this something you've worked out with them?
This is what I've told them is going to happen. They're not working anything out. I told them. I will pick up the cost of the houseboat, but the two of you are going to have to lose 50 pounds each before the summer cruise, which takes place in August. We're going to the Caribbean, the entire Western Estates Homeowners Association and the council, and they can take it or leave it because I am sick of this. I've been humiliated.
So now you've gone from telling these people that they can't sunbathe nude in front of you, and now you've gone from telling them they have to lose 50 pounds by the...
It's a trade-off.
They have to lose 50 pounds each by the summer cruise.
It's a trade-off, Mr. Henry. I think it's very fair.
I think it's more than fair. I think it's more than fair from what we've been put through. The Lake Patrol comes out, and...
I got to tell you must have been mortified, both of you. Like two children pulling each other's hair, stark naked in front of a Lake Patrol guy.
He got his jollies.
Oh, he's an alcoholic. He was getting his jollies.
Well, you know something? I would watch what you say about people from this point forward. And again, you're making a demand on them. Our number is 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Hendry Show. If you just joined us, Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us. They were sunbathing nude in front of some friends. Their friends asked if they could join them. They said no because they're too fat. They did it anyway. Then there was a fight that broke out. And these are two really good friends of yours, so you said. And now you're going to be going to the, on a cruise, and they have to lose 50 pounds.
Yes, they do, Phil, because you know something? We've invited members of the city council and the Western States cruise. I'll be damned if those two beasts are getting on that cruise, making a...
Boy, for friends of yours, you sure do talk about them as if they're lower than low.
They stabbed us in the back. We called the Lake Patrol out. My wife's nude in front of the man.
Yes, and I'll tell you something, Phil. Being cut, which I'm very cut, being in shape, which I am very in shape, is nothing to be jealous of. You can do it. And I told Janice and Ray, if they're listening, Steve and I are actually right now in the weight room at Western Estates. And, Steve, what are you going to do right now?
If I could, Mr. Henry, I'm going to demonstrate. Just doing some basic chest pressing. Just doing some barbell work with the chest. Because I'm trying to get my chest good.
Now, Steve is going to be on his back working the chest, the lats, the deltoids, and the triceps. And just go ahead, Steve.
How are you doing?
All right, wait a minute, guys.
Just hold on.
Yeah.
Now, what he's doing, Phil, is he's exhaling as he pushes up, inhales, they come down. Push, Steve, go. You can do one more. One more for the core.
What is he doing?
This is weight training. And
it sounds like he's in pain.
Yeah.
No, it is exhalation of air, sucking in.
Is he all right?
He's fine. What he's doing is he's really giving it a go. You ought to see his chest. His chest Steve, hold on. The chest and the arms.
I got a big bicep.
Let's do bicep work. Here we go. This is how you get cut, Phil.
What, you know something? It sounds to me like a guy that's in the bathroom or something.
No, it's the...
Ow! All right, so this is weightlifting.
This is weightlifting, Phil. This is body sculpting. This is what happens when you care about yourself. And this is what happens when you care about yourself so much that you look good, you can sunbathe in the nude, and your friends, who are huge, are going to be jealous to the point where they call the lake patrol on you.
Well, I don't think that that was the case. They simply wanted to get naked because they saw you sunbathing and maybe they wanted to be like you.
I don't think so. Why else would they call the lake patrol? Why else would they do something that no one's ever done before, get up into my grill and say, well, I'm taking my clothes off too.
That doesn't sound to me like a guy weight training. It sounds like a guy who's getting injured.
No, he's fine.
Jesus. Is he really a... Maybe the Greeleys are happy with their bodies.
No. You know why they're not happy with their bodies? Because they looked at us with jealousy.
Well, it sounds like he's pulling a muscle or he's straining something or he's popping something. Doesn't sound healthy.
No, he's... Phil, I'm the one that's cut, not you. Large.
Why does he say large?
That's what he wants to be. He wants to be large. I gotta hit me. I felt so.
Okay, hold on, Bobby. I want to thank you very much because we do have to take a break here for coming on the program. I know that you were in the middle of your summer-tacular and all of the planning that went into that.
Well, again, what we're telling the Greeleys is this, and it's very simple, and I want everybody out there to hear me because I don't want to be misunderstood. We're simply asking Janice and Ray to lose 50 pounds, and then they're welcome on our cruise because we're going to be in a lot of bathing suits out there. And I think this is something you can all do for friends of yours. Don't allow them around you until they lose weight. I think that's really, really helpful. I think it
doesn't that give them a bad self-image?
No. I think if you really love someone who's fat, you don't let them anywhere near you until they've dropped an acceptable amount of weight. And when you do that, you can say, you're a good friend. I'm Bobby Dooley with this week's tips for summer vacations. Oh!
We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and I do the voices of all the different characters on my show, like I just did the voice of Bobby and Steve Dooley there. Steve working out with weights, Bobby talking about how cut she is. And the people who called to talk to them, they thought they were real people. But that's the beauty, the marvel, the wonder, the industry, the amazement, and sometimes the tragic heartbreak of this program. Now, coming up from yesterday's show, actually Friday's show, forgive me, Doug Danger, another character of ours, a entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, was talking about how the good old days of only movie stars and celebrities riding around in limousines were gone. Now anybody can ride in a limousine who's got the $800 and $900 for the night, and he just thinks that's a tragedy.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I want to know what makes these people think they're any better than the common person. We're the people that put money pockets so they can ride around in a limo.
But
who cares? If it wasn't for the public, they wouldn't be a star.
They're movie stars, okay?
Yeah, well, without the public, they wouldn't be nothing but another common Joe.
Yeah,
if
but...
I make, hey, you know what? My monthly income's over $20,000, and if I want to ride around in a limo, I'm going to ride one, and they can kiss my butt. And if somebody like you comes up and tells me I don't belong in one, I will slap the taste out of your mouth.
Hold on for just a second here, Clyde. First of all, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm very honest.
You've got that point across numerous times. The whole nation knows you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, you got a problem with that?
No, I have no problem with it. What I have a problem with is people like you think they're better than the normal person.
Look,
they pay their salaries. We go see their movies.
Yeah, that's right. But they give you something in return. They give you entertainment you'll never forget.
What?
Yeah. Did you see Spider-Man?
The price is up so much that you can't take your family to the movies anymore. You have to go see them by yourself so they can ride around in their limousines. Well, without us, they're nothing.
Movie stars give us hope, Clyde.
You
they
have
give us
nothing
hope.
To write about.
Movie stars, they give us hope. They give you the hope to go on with your miserable life.
They're fake. You know, them people without their little roles are nothing.
But without their movies, you're nothing, because that's what helps you relax.
That's where you're wrong. I have a life, and it doesn't depend on going and seeing somebody on a screen portray something that they're not.
Tell me that
I have a life.
Tell me Spider-Man didn't give you hope to go on.
You know what?
Hope to go on.
I didn't bother to go see Spider-Man. I'm not into that kind of
stuff.
Well,
how do you get through every day?
How do I get through every day? I get through every day knowing that at the end of the day, I've put in a hard day's work, and what I've done brings meaning to my life. How do you get through a day?
I get through
living
the day.
Living off other people.
No, I get through the day having gotten the message in Spider-Man.
You live off other people. You don't even have a life of your own. You depend on other people, so you have something to write
about.
You
go home and watch stars on TV, don't you? Yes, you do.
No,
Yes, you do.
You know what I do? I watch the news. I watch,
educational
programs.
Okay, Dan Rather's a celebrity. Dan Rather's a celebrity, and he's the only guy. He should be in a limo, but everybody else know.
I don't watch Dan Rather's, but what gives Dan Rather's the right to think that he can ride in a limo and I can't?
Say that again?
If these people want to put out money for a limo, there is no reason, and you have no God-given right to tell anybody any different. It's their money. If they want to spend it to go out and spend a nice evening on the town.
Right, so let me ask you a question, Clyde. Why is it one of the top film stars in the world said to me that when she gets into a limo after regular people have been in it, it smells like processed cheese?
Well, then that's her problem, because people like that are sick and they don't belong in stardom.
How do you figure she smells cheese?
Okay, if she smells cheese, that cheese is from someone who's paid her salary and went and seen probably a crappy movie.
A crappy movie? You know, I can't say who the star is, but...
I want to know who the star is.
Have you ever seen...
Now, wait a second. Are you a star? What are you doing in the limo?
In
the limo?
I'm a member of the media, okay? I get to go into limos because I'm a reporter.
Well, if you were a better member of the media, you could afford your own limo and wouldn't have to be invited with somebody else.
I get my limousine rides cup, but does this star have to sit in regular people's slop? No.
What's a regular person?
These people who aren't movie stars. And they get into the limousine and they leave a smell of cheese and clip on earrings.
So what? They're a movie star because people like me pay for them to be a movie star.
I thought you said you don't go to movies.
I don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't need to. You know what? I own real estate in Salt Lake City. I make $20,000 a month in income. If I decide to go get in a limo, I'm going to go get in a limo.
Brad Pitt makes way more than that.
So what?
Well, he belongs to limousine.
How much do you make a month?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't have to answer that question.
We know that.
We know that.
You know what?
You know
I'm gay?
I'm a straight man and a straight man real estate. So what?
You're a straight what? I'm sorry?
I'm a straight man. And I'm in real estate. So what?
Are you a straight real estate agent?
You're gay.
No.
You want to know what?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Are you a straight man and a straight real estate agent?
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. But maybe back in the 80s, people cared if somebody else was gay. It doesn't matter anymore. Nobody cares.
$20,000 a month is chump change.
Yeah, that's chump change.
Now, what do you make?
I make 35.
You probably don't see $20,000 in a year, buddy.
I make $35,000 a year.
Jesus. Oh,
that's chump change, buddy. That's chump change. That's
well, I'm
chump
gay.
Change.
I'm well, gay.
You're gay and poor.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Guy's phone was messed up, but that's a pretty good call. I'm gay. You're gay and poor. Autopsy finds blocked coronary artery. St. Louis Cardinal pitcher Daryl Kyle. By now you've heard this story if you're a sports fan, and even if you're not, you probably heard this story. 33-year-old guy. He died from a blocked coronary artery. That means... all you guys out there got to go out and get that full body scan, find out about them arteries. The guy's 33. Me, I don't have any heart disease in my family. Oh, sure, my father had a number of strokes, but what's that got to do with anything? Young guy like this, 33, you know, Letterman, he has that problem too. If you got heart problems in your family, I don't care how old you are, go out, Get that body scan. Find out what's going on. Maria's ex. Guy was 46, had a heart attack, blocked artery. Same thing. This guy had 80 to 90% blockage. Now, they're ball players, and I always thought that any kind of a professional athlete spent a good part of time during the off season. Well, not a good part of the time during the off season, but certainly there was a segment of time where you're around doctors. You're taking physicals. I know you have to take a physical when you report to camp for football. And I'm not, by the way, blaming anybody. I don't think that this is anybody's fault. I just, it's a lesson. Even a cursory physical is not going to pick this up. This guy's 33 years old, so he wasn't even anywhere close to 40, which is when they say you really ought to start getting those. So they had a medical examiner list a primary cause of death following the followed by two contributing factors. And the coroner told Sports Illustrated that if he were filling out a death certificate, he would list arterial sclerosis as the primary cause and leave the other two blank. He was found dead in a team hotel on Saturday. No signs of foul play. They found out that he had a problem with blockage in the arteries. So get your butt up off of your ever-widening, get your ever-widening butt up off of your probably ever-widening couch. That's what I was going to say. And get out and have a doctor take a look at you. You know, I had a physical for the first time in many years last year, and I was really scared to go in because I didn't know what the hell I'd find. I hadn't had a physical since I was in my 30s. I walk in there, the doctor looks at me, he listens to my heart, he takes my blood, and he goes, "Good God, you're amazing. You're amazing. How old are you?" I said, "I'm 48, doc. Can I make love to you? I'm not gay, but you are so strong and healthy." No, he took the blood. I was fine. He looked at my heart. It was cool. He did the blood pressure. All that crap, man. You got to do it, dude. I don't care how old you are. If you think you ain't anywhere near it because you're a young, strapping 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, I don't care. I had a boss of mine die at 39 from a heart attack. One of the great men in broadcasting, Jerry Peterson, years ago. Back in the 70s, this guy's 33, and if you're the wife of a guy that hasn't been to a doctor in a while, bug him until he can't stand it any longer. Bug him, push him, prod him, plead with him, send him out there to the doc. Big wow. And if he's a big guy, he's afraid of needles, well, you can go and hold his hand while they're pulling the blood. Come on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The news today is about Bin Laden and the end of the world. Where do you want to start, Bin Laden or the end of the world? Well, we'll go with Bin Laden and we'll go to the end of the world, shall we? But the good news is that Bin Laden is not alive. He's dead. And the other good news is it's not the end of the world. How do I know this? Well, I'm Phil Hendry. I are paid to analyze the news. And I'm paid to give my commentary, my satirical, irreverent view, and then finally leave. Give your commentary, give your satirical, irreverent view, Phil, and then please get out of the building. Now, I don't know if you saw the latest, but the latest is this. Bin Laden on TV soon. Osama bin Laden is alive, well, and will make a video statement soon, according to a recording said to be of an Al-Qaeda spokesman and broadcast on Arabic television. Al-Qaeda accused of carrying out the September 11th attacks is also planning to strike more American targets, the interview said. Now, get this. After the surprise of September the 11th, after the surprise of the U.S. coal attack, the the USS Cole attack, after the surprise of the U.S. embassy bombings in Africa, after the surprise of the World Trade Center, now all of a sudden Al-Qaeda is warning us every time they're going to hit us. Isn't that interesting? The other thing that's interesting, posters have appeared on walls saying that bin Laden's alive. We now have a recording saying that bin Laden's alive. But we ain't got no bin Laden, do we? Why, after the attacks on September the 11th, there he was on videotape with the wall behind him, talking about how happy he was that the whole thing went down. Then we commented on that wall, and then he put up burlap the next time he was on videotape, so we couldn't see the wall, and he was talking about what a bunch of scumbags we were, and the beard was a little bit grayer. And then comes December, where the beard is almost completely white, he can't move his left arm, he looks like warmed over crap, he looks like he hasn't slept in 5 weeks, and he's talking about what a pile of dung America is, yada yada yada, etc., etc. Guess what? Not since December have we had any fresh tape from this guy. What we have had is some very badly edited tape, rehashed material, sort of put together non-chronologically, and this is supposed to be proof that he's still alive. A lot of B-roll, a lot of file tape, nothing fresh, nothing new. What we have had are a lot of so-called statements from Al-Qaeda saying, but he's alive. Well, no, he isn't. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. He's dead. If he's alive, he's in an iron lung someplace. And I'm being very serious now. If bin Laden is alive, and I'd just love to have Al-Qaeda prove me wrong, you just go right ahead anytime you want to step to the plate and prove this humble reporter's opinion wrong. The guy's in an iron lung someplace, or maybe he's so badly disfigured from the bunker busters that we laid on top of him that he can't be seen on television. But he is in no shape to plan anything. He's not alive. If he's alive, he can't talk. If he's alive, he can't move. And if he's alive, you don't want to put a camera on him. So I'm just going to say he's dead. If he were alive, we would have heard from him by now. We would have heard of a recording of some kind, audio or video. We would have seen new photographs. We would have some credible, tangible proof. Now you say, ah, but he wants us to believe that he's dead, but he's really alive. He wants us to believe that he's dead, but he's really alive. Then why are they saying he's alive? If he wants us to believe that he's dead, but that he's really alive, then why are they saying he's alive? You see what I'm saying? Why don't they say he's dead? Well, Phil, they want to recruit more Al-Qaeda. They want to recruit more Al-Qaeda. So in other words, they're going to tell us that he's dead, and they're going to make us think that he's dead, but they're also going to want to make this group of guys think that he's alive. So the best way to do that is to say that he's alive, but not show him. Is that right? No. The best recruiting tool in the world, the best moral picker-upper, if you will, would be to show the man standing there in front of a camera, or show the man in a photograph saying, I'm still here, suckers. Now, this is propagandizing that goes all the way back, as I educated you guys a few months ago, Che Guevara, when they propped up literally a dead Che Guevara in a chair and took a picture of him to try to send the message to the troops that Che was alive and well. Well, he was cold. He was as dead. He was as cold as yesterday's soup, man. The guy is sitting there with his eyes propped open with toothpicks, and he's sitting there propped up in a chair. Did you ever see the picture of Che? Oh, it's hysterical. He's propped up there, and it's, see, Che's alive. And they disseminated this picture to the troops. Well, he was dead. You do that when you want to keep the morale of your guys pumping. This guy is dead, and they don't even have a body to prop up in front of a camera. You want to know why? Because they dropped one down the hole, and this guy's in about 400 different pieces spread about 600 miles across that Torah freaking Bora, baby. If they ever do find bin Laden, there won't be enough left of him to stick in a can. And I mean a soup can. So he's dead. Now, you'd think that I'm not the only guy out there who knows this. But apparently, if you look at the way everybody is reacting to events and these threats from these terrorists, you'd think they're credible threats. Which brings me to point number two. I believe that these threats of more violence against America are phony baloney, bullcrap, war of words, strike terror into their hearts with words because we really don't have the weaponry and the hardware to do anything else. I honestly believe that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going to ask you a question. Once again, Did they warn us about 9/11? Did they warn us about the USS Cole? Did they warn us about the World Trade Center? Now all of a sudden they tell us, strap in tight, America. Hold on to your ass. It's coming. It's coming any day now. We'll strike when we want and how we want and if we want. Those are the words of someone who is trying to make you afraid but doesn't really have anything concrete going. Those are the words of an obscene phone caller. That's the kind of language used by people that mail anonymous death threats. They have no intention of carrying out. If you really got something going, you don't trumpet it to the hills, baby. You just do it. That's their M.O. That's what they did on 9/11. That's what they did before. Now all of a sudden they're talking? The last threat that these guys issued was during the initial bombing stages in October when one of these scumbags that works for Al-Qaeda got on the television or got on one of these videotapes and said, the skies will be a storm of airplanes if you kill any civilians in Afghanistan. The skies over America will be a storm of airplanes. Okay. What would that lead you to believe? They've got operatives ready to go in America. They're going to have a storm of airplanes. Hey, I would say that we killed a few Afghan civilians. Those are the wages of war, baby. That's what you call collateral damage. Anybody seen any storm of airplanes over America lately? Did you see any back then in October, November, December, February, January? Did you see any in March? Did you see any in April? What we've got going on in this country is a whole lot of scared, not much more. We got a group of bandits who are very sharp, very well-funded, but they've had their ass kicked pretty good, who are now waging the only kind of war they can wage. They are saying it over the airwaves of America and the broadcast airwaves of the world because they can't do anything about it. So I will tell you this much, and this is what I believe. There won't be any Al-Qaeda attack on July the 4th. There won't be any Al-Qaeda attack in the near future. I'm not saying that there won't be one. I don't think they have anything in the pipeline for July 4th. I think it's crap. That's what I think they got. I think they got nothing. I think what they got is an ability to scare the hell out of this generation of Americans who, frankly, have never experienced any kind of warfare before. And maybe we are a little bit soft. But you know what they say about Americans? Once you put a finger in our face and we get tough after a while. It takes us a little bit, but we do get tough. And maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe there will be another attack. But I don't think they got jack squat planned for July the 4th. And I think if Bin Laden's around, he's in a hefty bag somewhere in about 16 different pieces. Not only do I think that, I believe it. In fact, in my gut, I know it. Now let's get back to one other little piece of news here before we take our break, and that is this CNN Time poll that finds more than one-third of Americans say they're paying more attention now to how the news might relate to the end of the world. 59% say they believe the events in Revelation are going to come true. Oh, man. Oh. And nearly one-quarter think the Bible predicted the September 11th attack. Well, no, it didn't. No, it didn't. And if the events in Revelations come true, it ain't going to be for some time. Maybe another 3,000 years. You see, folks, we're just stuck with this little old world. We're stuck with this world, and we're just stuck with the fact that we're going to have to work our problems out. We're going to have to solve the problems. Jesus ain't coming down on a cloud anytime soon. He ain't going to come down and go, you, and you're all up here in the rapture, and the rest of you can go piss up a wall. It ain't going to happen. It's a tough time. It's a challenging time. But other generations have had challenging times, starting in the 14th century with the Black Plague, moving on to World War II and all the other wars and all of the other challenges that the human race has faced down through time. They thought it was the end of the world on September 1st, 1939. Do you know that? They thought it was the end of the world when we dropped the atomic bomb. They thought it was the end of the world when the Cuban Missile Crisis started. They thought it was the end of the world during the Black Plague. They thought it was the end of the world during the collapse of Rome. They've been predicting the end of the world for as long as guys have been predicting the end of the world. For the day that Jesus died, that's when they predicting the end of the world. World ain't going to end anytime soon. We got to sit here and suck on it and solve it. And I just found out that some of this stuff comes from a series of books called Left Behind, which I also just remembered, because Janice was in the office, that my youngest son is reading. Well, looks like I got to practice a little parental censorship. I don't care if it is a Christian series of books. I'm tearing those out of his bedroom. And he's going to start reading Mad Magazine again, like I told him to. 1-800-449-8686. So I'd be interested to hear what you think about everything that I just said. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I just said that I think bin Laden's dead. There won't be any terrorist attack on July the 4th, and that the end of the world is not upon us, despite what the Time CNN Newsweek poll says, despite what the newspapers say, despite what Al-Qaeda says. They're waging a war of fear based upon words only, and we got to get with it. 1-800-449-8686. What do you think about that? RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Right, Mr. Hendry, your eagerness to bury bin Laden may be understandable to a degree, but there's millions of us who enlisted or will enlist in the U.S. Armed Forces, and we only have one dream, sir, to go into bin Laden's cave and to bring his severed head out on the end of a bayonet. And you talking that way robs me of my dream. And every fighting man and woman...
Wait, who are you? Are you a soldier?
I go to a military academy in Altadena, California.
What's the name of it?
It's Bradley Military Academy.
You go to a military academy in Altadena, California. Now, what is that training for what, the Army?
Yes, sir.
And so when you graduate...
Then I go in, I get commissioned in the United States Army.
Then you get commissioned as what? Like a lieutenant?
As an officer, yes, sir.
And so you're saying that...
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, you came on the air and you said bin Laden's dead, and I think that your eagerness to portray him as dead robs all the fighting men and women out there in Afghanistan right now of their will to fight. And it's the fondest dream of every fighting man or woman to bring his severed head to the end of a bayonet.
Look, for a minute I would ask you just to think about things that we have seen, okay? Think about the news.
No, sir, I think you're wrong. And you're robbing us of our will to fight to save bin Laden's dead. That's...
Wait, how am I robbing you of your will to fight?
Because that's un-American. When did you... You're going to make us yellow, plus you talked bad about Christians and their way of doing things. And, sir, let me tell you something.
Hold on. I got to correct you, all right?
But I want to tell you something.
Hold on. I got to correct you. I didn't talk bad about Christians and their way of doing things, all right?
You made fun of the rapture. And I have to tell you something, sir. I believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the prophecies that is in the Bible. And you're refuting the Word of God.
All right, so you're saying that it doesn't matter that bin Laden is dead.
No, I'm saying that I don't believe he is, and if you continue to spew misinformation about Lynn Batten being dead, you jeopardize the recruitment effort of America.
Well, I don't think that people are going to stop joining the Army if bin Laden's dead.
No, but you got to understand something.
I mean, what am I missing here, man? You're in a military academy. You're telling me that the people who fight for this country in the armed forces are there for one reason.
They're there for one reason, sir. And we're hardcore. We're a little bit psycho. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Platoon, but in that movie is a staff sergeant named Barnes. And his face is all carved up. In many ways, I'm like him. I identify, once I'm in Afghanistan, I'm gonna rock somebody's world. And again, sir, with all due respect, when you say you think bin Laden's dead, you rob me and every soldier out there of the glory that's rightfully ours. And that's to sever bin Laden's head from his shoulders, come out of the cave holding his head smeared with our own blood. And then it's Miller time. Yes, sir, it is.
All right, son, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to condescend to you, okay? I don't know that those are realistic dreams. Why don't you hold on the line, okay? And I'm going to get a call here. Can you hold on the line?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We've got a young man who believes that me saying Bin Laden's dead is going to rob the American fighting men and women of their will to fight, which I think is crap because...
Excuse me, sir, but I'm on the front lines of defending this country. I think I know...
Yeah, but I also pay for the frontline fighters to be on the front lines, all right? Go ahead, Lloyd, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir, I'm listening to the two of you gentlemen. My understanding is the young boy is from a military academy, correct?
Yes, sir.
I have combat experience. I don't know if the host... Do you have combat experience, sir?
No, sir, I do not.
And the only thing that... When we were in Korea, and I was there in 1950, 1952, the only thing we wanted to do was to get Mao Zedong, and he was the head of the Chinese army. And I know what this young man means when he says bring his head out on the end of a bayonet, because that's all we wanted to do there in Korea. And whether you were on a ship like me or a rat-infested bunker like a lot of the Marines, you wanted to bring Mao Zedong's head out of the bunker, and I never had the chance up close. And I've always wished I could have been the one instead of Mao dying peacefully in his sleep like he do.
Okay.
Mr. Henry, if I could jump in.
Go ahead.
You say Bin Laden's dead. You say the world isn't coming to an end. All you do is make me and other soldiers feel despair. That we have no purpose.
No, the only reason why guys enlisted was what?
Payback.
Payback.
Yes, sir. To defend our country, yeah, but also payback.
If I could say...
Go ahead.
It is your job as a media personality to say this could be the end of the world and that we could all die on the 4th of July. That's your job.
Why would that be my job? To scare people?
Sir, the people could go to the store and stock up on food and buy gas. If you don't let people know there's going to be a terror attack on July the 4th, people won't stock up on food or buy gas.
Then get their money out of the bank.
Yes, and get money from the ATM.
And get money? You want me to start to encourage panic buying, is that it?
Sir, it's not panic buying. When the Afghanistan terrorists could attack.
And Mr. Henry, one more thing. You're being un-American because the soldiers would fight for this country.
All right, I don't know what that was. That was just a 1-800-449-8686. I got two people on the line here. RC, who's a military cadet, and a veteran named Lloyd, who believe that me saying Bin Laden's dead and me saying that the end of the world isn't coming and me saying all of these actually positive things, I thought, demoralizes our fighting people because all they want to do is bring Bin Laden's severed head out of the cave on a bayonet. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I said, it looks to me like we are panicking a little bit with this Al Qaeda stuff. These guys have not done anything of consequence other than shake their fists and scream and yell.
Mr. Henry, I want to jump in.
Go ahead.
If you're wrong about no terror attack on July 4th, then the American people will be caught with their pants down, just as we were on 0911. And let me tell you what happened on that day. Two aircraft...
I know what happened on 911. You don't have to tell me.
But, Mr. Henry, I think you need...
Is this RC?
Yes, sir. I think you need to understand. I want to go to Afghanistan to defeat Bin Laden. When you say he's dead...
Also, the stock market crashing and everything.
The stock market hasn't crashed. The stock market is down, that's all. Here is Stacy on the Phil Henry Show. Stacy, go ahead.
Hi there.
Yes,
I just
ma'am.
Have a couple of comments for the other two callers that are talking about... I applaud the fact that they're
can
in the military.
Can I get the gentleman... What is the older gentleman?
Yes, sir. My name's Lloyd Bonafide. I'm from Alhambra, California.
All right. And you're RC from where?
I'm at Bradley Military Academy.
And that's in Altadena?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Stacy.
I applaud the fact that they're in the military, and that's a wonderful thing.
Well, I've since retired, Stacy. I was in the U.S. Navy 1950, 1952 during the Korean conflict.
And that's wonderful, and I respect that. However, to the other caller who's in the academy now, who's saying that the only reason that a lot of these people are enlisting is to kill Bin Laden or take his head out of the cave, that bothers me, because it's not just Bin Laden that we're after. It's his whole army, if you will, his whole crusade. It's his whole mission. It's not just him. He's not just one person. And if he's dead,
that's right.
Good. I'm glad. I hope he's dead. But it's not just him. There's others that are following. So,
but ma'am, you got to understand that from the time a cadet begins his basic training, sharpens his knife every night, and I look at a picture of Bin Laden every night before I go to sleep, and he and I have a little conversation, and I say to that picture, you know what, you better enjoy yourself while you can, because you're going to wind up on the end of this, and I have the knife, and I put it in, up to the picture.
Well, then shouldn't you be proud or happy or enthused that supposedly our military may have already taken him out? Shouldn't that give you some satisfaction there in knowing
that
you can sharpen that same knife for others in his...
If I could jump in, what the young boy's saying is, if we did take him out, it was done by the air boys. Not by the infantry, but by the air. And I don't think you leave that kind of glory to these glory boys that are flying off the aircraft carrier after their steak and eggs in the morning.
Isn't
it supposed to be about the United States fighting back against them, not just one particular branch of the military?
But we need to see the blood of Bin Laden and his skull on a stick.
No, we do not.
I'm saying this by what both of you are saying. You are contradicting yourselves. You're contradicting our whole purpose of having a military in general. We're supposed to work as a team, not just one force or the other force or this one got him or that one got him. We're supposed to be working as a team, country, as a united nation.
But if you look at what they've done, they go in with guns. We need to go in the same way. We need to scare them, too.
I think what the young man's saying, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
We need to have Bin Laden's head on the end of a stick so that we can strike the fear of Jesus Christ himself into every one of the towel wrappers over there.
All right, I don't want to go down the towel wrapper thing, okay?
I beg your pardon?
I don't want to do any of those ethnic stereotypes. Do you mind?
Well, it's great to be in America, isn't it?
Yes, I guess it is.
And you know what? If it's so great to be in America, then Americans should come together, and irregardless of which military takes them
exactly,
out, whether it's the Air Force, whether it's the Marines.
But the flyboys, they always get the glory. They go in, they drop a couple of bombs like they're a couple of geese taking a crap on a picnic, and they go and land.
And you know what? I that really bothers me. My grandfather fought in the war. He was a pilot.
Is that right?
You know what? I'm damn proud of him.
Well, good
for everything
him,
that he did.
Mr. Henry, if you could just for a second stop kissing the hind end of this collar and listen to what
I'm not doing any such thing. I'm simply saying congratulations, Stacy, on the service of her grandfather.
Was your grandfather in the war, Mr. Henry?
My father was in World War II, and he was infantry.
You see, your father was a dog face, too. Now, why don't you stick up for us?
Because I also know, just like Stacy said, it's a team effort. We need the Air Force, we need the Navy, we need the Marines, we need the Coast Guard, we need them all.
And then so I'm robbed of my glory because some flyboy done it.
Nobody's denying your glory whatsoever. Your job, whether it be infantry, whether it be anybody, everybody's job is just as important as the next guy.
It's true. All right, Stacy, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
Wait a minute. She can't tell me that she wouldn't love to put a bayonet up the hind end of Bin Laden till the tip come out the top of the brain.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not a young man. I'd love it.
This is not a video game, guys. This is not a video game.
You don't have to tell me. I've got combat practical experience.
All right. Sticking the bayonet up Bin Laden's rear end till the tip come out the brain, like the kid said. This is not a video game. Here is Jay on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Jay, go ahead.
My name's Jerry DeBall. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
And the boy that's in the
Jay, you need to turn your radio down for me, if you wouldn't mind.
Not a problem.
We got to get Bin Laden.
We're going to get Bin Laden. And it seems like that you're eat up with doing it on the ground, which is going to get more American soldiers killed than anything.
Are you kidding me? We could take Al-Qaeda out.
I'm not kidding you.
We don't have to worry about Al-Qaeda because they're chicken.
They're scared enough that they flew two large airplanes and took the two tallest buildings in America to the ground. That's how scared they are.
That was only about 10 of them.
Well, you need to be locked up, rubbing your knife and talking to it and talking about Bin Laden. All right?
Every night
we're going to get him. I'd love to see him hung on the Capitol steps.
Well,
but
I think I personally
it takes time.
I personally think, Jay, we've already gotten him.
Mr. Henry, that's irresponsible of you to say that.
That is an open option in my mind too.
I think we've probably got.
That is irresponsible for you two gentlemen to say that, because that leads the Americans to relax and not to stock up on food and clothing for the 4th of July attacks.
Stock up on food and clothing?
You know what? You're going to throw America into a whirlwind.
Well, I've just tried to get everybody.
You're going to shut every interstate down, every grocery store, every gas station. It's going to be to where people can't go nowhere. They will be locked up out here in traffic trying to do whatever you're talking about, panic.
Hey, Jay!
And he will tear our ass apart.
Jay, I talk to the picture of Bin Laden every night, and I assure him that his head's going to be on the end of my bayonet when I get over there.
Well, you talk to Bin Laden every night, and I talk to my American flag and say I'm proud to be an American, and there ain't nothing we can do about it.
Hoo-ha!
We had our eyes closed, and he snuck in there and got us in the back.
Well, that's true, but,
all
you
right?
know, it's...
Now, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, all the grunts, they're all over there doing what they signed up to do.
You think these flyboys ought to get
every
on the
Every one
glory?
Of them. You think every these... one of them is a United States Armed Forces member in my eyes. It don't matter which group they're in.
You know, I like you, Jay. You ever been in the Marine Corps?
No, sir, I haven't.
Well, we could use a guy like you.
I'm too busy raising my three children the American way.
Hey, Jay, you sound like you could be psycho like me.
Oh, yeah, you're psycho, all right, kid.
I'm hardcore.
You're eat up.
I'm going to rock somebody's world.
They need to take you right on over there to Afghanistan and drop your ass off is what they need to do.
Well,
matter of fact, you probably won't make it to Afghanistan. We're probably going to end up in Iraq in the next 6-8 months.
Well,
and you can go over there and deal with Saddam Hussein. You got a knife for him, too?
Well,
I guarantee you he's got some chemical warfare over there coming at you.
But I'm psycho and hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Psycho and hardcore.
I'm like the guy in Platoon.
Which one? The guy that got shot?
Well, they both did.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's that leave you, buddy?
They fragged one of them.
Well, I just wanted everybody to know that the military's ready to get Bin Laden, and Mr. Henry saying he's already dead means everybody don't feel good.
You've demoralized the military, sir.
Oh, what a load you guys are shoveling here today. If
Thank
I believe...
You, from
they a, from
a truck full of it.
The standard of...
Well, you know, Jay, I feel bad you stick it up for Mr. Henry, because I like you. You're hardcore and psycho.
Well, hardcore and psycho.
I'm not psycho. I'm far from psycho.
Okay. I just believe, based upon what I've seen, the evidence that I've seen in the news, the comments, I'm just putting two and two together. I don't think the guy's around. If he is around, he's incapable of speaking. He's probably almost dead. I just don't think the guy's around.
Oh, based upon...
I'm with you, Mr. Henry. I think he's dead, too, but nobody will ever know for sure
unless
he shows his face again.
Well, like
and
Hitler.
There's nothing we can do about
well,
that.
Like Hitler. They didn't know if he was dead.
So based upon your evidence, you civilians cracked me up.
Oh, and you're the big military academy guy, huh?
Yeah, I get that right. You're in the academy, right? You're not even an actual soldier yet?
I'm going to be a senior next year.
Oh, well, you probably won't even make it into this war, man. Calm down.
What are you talking about?
Calm down, dude, because if you don't make it into this war, they're going to kick your ass right back out here into the streets, and then what are you going to do? Shoot every ethnic group that's not American? Now, come on. This is the land of the free.
But if Bin Laden's dead, it's a waste of time for our fighting men and women to be over there.
Don't nobody know it now, and ain't nobody going to know it for... months to come until we find a body, years to come.
Well, I think it's all a lot of conversation. I think they ought to drop the big one, personally.
Oh, yeah,
well,
where are they going to drop the big one,
man? What's that going to do? That's going to bring every other country
that's
in
great.
This world. That's going to be the
drop
end
the
of
big
mankind.
One.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous drop the big one. Hey, Jay, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686.
I like that guy. He's hardcore and psycho.
No, he is not. He's a man who is upset with the idiocy that he was listening to. God, I got myself upset. Fact of the matter is, we're not dropping the big one. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The two guys I got on the line here, RC is a cadet, military academy cadet. Lloyd, I believe, Mr. Bonafide, is a Navy veteran from Korea. The two of them believe that I have been irresponsible in saying that I think Bin Laden is dead because it robs the American servicemen and women of their initiative to go over there and kill him. Well, I do think bin Laden's dead. I don't think it robs the initiative of our armed forces. I think they still got a hell of a job to do, but those two guys are calling me un-American. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
We'll get back to our phone calls here. I've got two guys, two listeners on the phone. Lloyd is, they're both kind of, the reason why I'm hanging with them, one of them is a military veteran, the other is in a military academy. Both of them feel that I was wrong in saying that I believe bin Laden is dead, and you, because I'm demoralizing our troops. And now, you wanted to make a comment, RC?
Yes, I did, sir. If anybody out there has seen the book The Lord of the Flies, in that book, young men who have been crashed in an airplane are on an island. And gradually they turn psycho and hardcore. And one of them, named Jack, kills a pig, a wild pig on the island, and smears the blood of the pig all over him to represent that he's hardcore. That's what I want to do with bin Laden.
Amen.
And you saying, Mr. Henry, that he's dead robs me of being able to smear the blood of bin Laden on my body because I'm hardcore and psycho.
Amen. And let me say one other thing, too. We've got a great generation of young fighting people who are willing to go over to Afghanistan and gut this guy like a sheep and let the blood drain for the...
Oh, my God. Come on, you guys.
Well, we do.
1-800-449-8686. Amy, go ahead.
Hi, this is for RC mostly. I'm currently in the military. And
yes,
everyone I've talked to out of all of them, very few want to see bin Laden dead. All they want to see is this whole war to get over with so we can all go home to our family.
Hold on for a minute, Amy, will you? Will you turn her down a little bit because she's getting clipped? Amy, go ahead. Amy? Oh, we lost her. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is she turned all the way down, or did you? Okay. Let me go to Jason. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Phil. I totally agree with you, man. I really don't understand where these guys are coming from. I mean, I'm 19. I just got through with high school. I've read Lord of the Flies, and the last thing I want to do is smear blood all over me just to show how hardcore I am. I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether to believe bin Laden's dead, but I do believe one thing, that bin Laden is not the only person responsible. So bin Laden...
Well, if you get into the military, maybe you'll understand it. Maybe you'll understand it.
I'm sorry?
All right, thanks. Here is Jackie on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this little kid that's talking about he wants to go to the war.
I want to go to Afghanistan because I'm psycho.
Yeah, you're psycho because you'd be talking to a picture every night.
Yeah, that's, I talk to the picture of bin Laden.
I mean, what's up with that, man?
Hey, man, I talk to bin Laden and tell him that I'm going to come over and get the bayonet up his butt all the way out of the top of his brain area.
Dude, you play too many video games, for real.
What?
Hey, listen, this young man is an example of the fine young people we have. What's your name, Jackie?
Yes.
What are you doing, sitting there smoking a big rock?
Something like that.
Yeah.
No.
Raging,
no.
Baby.
I'm sorry, I'm not.
All right, man, no problem. Here, Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
Hi, this is for RC.
Didn't we just talk to you?
Listen, you need to grow up if you want to really be in the military. You are still a little boy. Are you going to be an officer, don't you?
What?
You want to be an officer? I hope to God I never have to serve under anyone as tough as you are. You're the only person so far in the military who I have talked to who actually wants to go up when she's been locked in on
okay.
Canada.
Amy, every now and again we got a car phone that clips or limits, and your car phone's clipping you. Can you maybe lower your voice a little so it doesn't... sounds like that.
All right. Is that better?
That's way better.
That's
all
good,
right.
Mr. Henry. You should calm her down.
You just be quiet. Go ahead, Amy.
Look, RC, I know you want to serve in the military. It's a very admirable thing to do. But I've been in the military for 2 years, and you are the most childish person I have ever heard of who wants to be in the military.
Are you kidding me? I want to go over and get his head on a stick and lick it like a sucker.
You got to be proud of that, Amy.
You are sick.
I'm sick?
You are very sick. Somebody puts you in a psychiatric ward because you definitely need some sort of help.
When the tip of the bayonet goes up the hind butt and the tip of it goes up the top.
Who cares where that thing's going, man?
I know. It's ridiculous, RC. You are one of the most childish people I have ever heard of or seen who aspires to even think of being in the military.
Wait a minute. Don't you know some guys that are psycho?
Yes, I do, but they're not like you. Oh, I want to kill Bin Laden. Oh, I hope the SWAT boys didn't get them. Who cares who got them? We are in the U.S. military. Look at the first two letters on the beginning of every name tape or tape on the front of somebody's BDUs.
What?
It's U.S. It
Amy,
does not say Marine.
Amy, you're in the National Guard, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's not even no real military.
It's not real military. Ever since September 11th, I have been on active duty. I've been full-time. I have given up. I've had to, quit school. And even before that, I've been full-time at the National Guard base for about a year.
Well, the National Guard's just like the Boy Scouts.
No, it's not.
It is not. Where have you come from?
The National Guard was the guys that flew. They're flying air patrol. They had National Guard units in Vietnam.
Oh, baloney.
Yes, they did.
We have air guard units who are over in Afghanistan. And then you're saying that I am not a real military member or something? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's full of crap. Amy, thanks.
If I was in the Coast Guard, do you think I could put a bayonet up Bin Laden's butt?
Yeah, man, join the Coast Guard.
Okay.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, there it is. The Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is up on our website, and you can pick up a copy of that just by going to our website, philhendryshow.com, and buy a Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. This is some kind of a shirt. It's got the Citizens Auxiliary Police insignia right on the front with, of course, the slogan of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police." Retired World War II Army Air Corps veteran Major Elvis Newton founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police in Hawthorne, California in 1997. When not working at his full-time security job at a local bottling plant, Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos stands tall as second in command of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Formed as a volunteer police assistance force, the Citizens Auxiliary Police live by the slogan, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police." For instance, though they've been in constant violation of the Constitution, Jay and his men have done everything from administering SUV safety checks, which forces soccer moms in SUVs to jump river bottoms to see if they really know how to drive four-wheel drive, to setting up health checkpoints, giving elderly women gynecological exams lest their vaginal itching interfere with their driving. And ask Jay why they do it. He'll simply tip his official Citizens Auxiliary Police pith helmet and say, "We just want to save lives." And now, in conjunction with the Phil Hendry Show, Jay Santos, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we bring you their state-of-the-art Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. This durable, heavyweight, 100% cotton T-shirt has been carefully crafted to meet the harsh specifications set by Major Elvis Newton and Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos. The shirt comes in black with the official Citizens Auxiliary Police emblem emblazoned in silver over the left breast, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police slogan, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police," also in silver on the back. The shirt, of course, is 100% cotton. It comes in men's sizes small, large, extra large, and extra, extra large. It's only $16, and your order will be shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. You got to get the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt to go along with your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Both of them fantastic wear items, fantastic menswear items. We're opening up our own men's shop here on the Phil Hendry Show. It is solid, solid stuff. I really dig the fact, too, that Jay's brother, Leon Santos, is the field marshal of the Beaver Battalion in Oregon. That's the thing that I didn't know it ran in the family, but that's really solid. The Beaver Battalion in Oregon, and Leon Santos is the field marshal. And I understand the Beaver Battalion in Oregon, they click their heels when they come into the office there to greet Field Marshal Santos. So that is really solid. So you got to get all of your Phil Henry Show materials, whether it's our best of CDs, our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, or our Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. It's all there at the Phil Henry Show website, philhendrieshow.com. In the preceding bit you heard last hour, it was the voice of R.C. Collins and Lloyd Bonafide, both characters that were done by me as well as my own voice. A lot of people sometimes they'll say, boy, doing three voices, that's got to be tough. Of course, I always look at them and I say, you're right, it is. Juggling those three different voices, but it's fun when it works, and I think that hour worked rather well, don't you? I'm psycho. I'm hardcore. I'm going to rock somebody's world. It's a whack world, man. You know what was really cool about that hour, though? Listening to some sensible voices. Because I never know when I read a CNN Time poll whether that's reflective of anything. It's no more reflective of anything, really, than any phone call that comes into this show. I don't know how people really feel. I do know that Americans can be nervous. They can be very nervous and very knee-jerk. It just comes with the territory. We're a knee-jerk people, and we're also, to a degree, kind of a copycat people until we find our balance, and then we're okay. So when I said what I said about, I don't believe there's going to be any terror attack on July 4th, I really don't believe there'll be any Al-Qaeda terror attack on July 4th, but who knows about the copycat whack jobs? You remember anthrax? Yeah. That was copycat. That was some nut job working in a lab someplace. Not very bright, though, because the guy, he wasn't very sophisticated in terms of his ability to send an anonymous note. I mean, I had that sussed out within 3 weeks that was an American that sent that, not Al-Qaeda. I knew it. Anybody that was listening to me back then heard it. I said, the guy that sent the anthrax is not Al-Qaeda. It's an American. It's some domestic nut. Because he had too many, there was just too many things tipping that off. So that's the only thing that I think about. July 4th comes up, and somebody tries to do some copycat job. But as far as the rest of the world goes, as far as Al-Qaeda goes, or any of these other guys that are shaking their fist and pumping their fist in the air and trying to scare us, they don't have the guns, baby. They don't have the guns. The only thing they got are their big, fat mouths. And man, those guys have always had big, fat mouths, haven't they? We're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and you're going to do this, and you're not going to do that, and you just wait. You just wait and see. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So I had kind of an interesting weekend. Maria and I, well, let me just say this. We had a nice time sort of just laying out and getting some sun. Then some friends came over. Then the wife took her top off and got into our jacuzzi. And that's all that happened. Now, moving along. It's nice to know that friends feel so relaxed they just strip nude, isn't it? It's great to know that you're there and there's another guy there and there's his wife and she just takes the top off and just climbs right into the jacuzzi. And I don't know what time it was, and I'm not going to comment on any, you know, physiology. I'm not commenting on her anatomy, whether they were big, small, well-shaped or not. But let me just ask this question. What is it with tequila and hot tubs? I don't get it. It's the funniest thing. You get a hot tub, you get a bottle of tequila. Next thing you know, everybody's clothes are coming off. What's going on with that? All I said was, would anybody like a little Don Julio, Blanco? And the next thing I know, breasts are hanging everywhere. I have no idea. And then on Friday night, Maria had, and I love this. Now then check this out. Friday night, she's got a group of her girlfriends over because they were all in a fashion show together. And they all thought that they were so gorgeous that they decided to have a reunion and watch the videotape of how gorgeous they were. Well, they had the reunion and they watched the videotape of how gorgeous they were, but they wanted to have another reunion of the time that they watched the tape to look at how beautiful they were. So they had reunion number 2 over at our house. So here come the women, and they are all beautiful women, like early 30s to late 40s, I say. Knockouts, all of them. And they come into the house, and what do you think? All of a sudden, they're hanging around saying to me,
oh, do you have cigarettes?
Well, my wife brought a carton back for... Oh, God, let me have one. My husband hates it when I smoke. So I'd just like to make this announcement to all of the husbands of those women that were over at my house. They were all outside smoking cigars. Smoking cigarettes and generally having themselves a hell of a time because they don't feel free to smoke around their husbands. The wives that are sneaking cigarettes from their husbands across this beautiful land of ours is breaking records everywhere. How do I know? Because occasionally I puff a weed, and if you do, that's kind of it's a community of people. Suddenly you're in a confederation of people, and they all run to you and say, oh, do you have cigarettes? Yeah. Oh, can I have one? Sure. I mean, what do I got, weed here? It's like I'm dealing crack. What do you want? I mean, just take the cigarette. Okay. I'm going to go around the side of the house. Don't let Harry know, okay? Okay, all right, I won't say anything. You know. Where's my wife? Suddenly I'm in the middle of something here. She went over there. I don't know. Where the hell? I just saw you talking to her. No. You ain't giving her crack, are you? No, I'm not. What do you mean crack? I gave her a cigarette. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a riot. You go to these parties? I don't smoke that much, seriously. But when I used to, they would walk up to me at these parties and say,
do you have cigarettes, Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, I know you smoke. Can I have one?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Phil, you have one?
Yeah. Next thing you know, around the back side of the garage between the hedge and the garbage cans, there's six women just puffing on nicotine. Why is that? Because the husbands they don't want to see it, see? The women, man, they're smoking cigarettes, but, you know, like it's going out of style. Now, the guys, I never see a guy smoking a weed. So occasionally I have a guy walk up to you and say, can I have a cigarette? Yeah, my wife doesn't want me to do this, but she ain't here today, so. Dad, it's a hell of a habit to quit. I'm going to tell you, it's a bitch. You smoked, didn't you, Jeff? You quit, didn't you? How much did you smoke? Pack a day? It is a son of a bitch of a... I'm telling you, there's nothing tougher other than maybe, well, smack, I'm sure, rates right up there, but... What's better than nicotine and smack? That's right there. Nuts. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
On Friday, we had entrepreneur Bob Green on. Apparently, he had about $250,000 worth of, or $500,000 worth of mugs, coffee mugs made that said, congratulations, USA 2002 World Cup champs. Well, obviously, he was out on his rear end because the U.S. got beat last Friday by Germany. So he came on our program on Friday to say, why didn't you people buy my mugs, and you still ought to buy my mugs, because I'm out $500,000 out of pocket. And besides, you could still buy the mug and pretend we won the World Cup. Well, it got this response.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy goals.
I just want to tell this guy that even if they would have won, and I would not buy a mug from him, even if they did win.
Wait a minute. If they won the World Cup, you're not going to buy congratulations to the USA?
Not from you, if I knew it was from you.
Why?
Because you're trying to push this product by using the sweat of these guys that are out there playing. And
sweat?
It's
those
a game.
Guys laid, what do you mean sweat? They laid down. They lost. Sweat.
It's a game. Even the best lose sometimes.
Well, they stink.
It's
and
a gamble.
They didn't tell us how much they stunk, and I go out and put $500,000 into coffee mugs.
It's a gamble. It's a gamble.
A
That's
Visa,
why you're a business.
Do you have a Visa card?
You can do whatever you want to my Visa card, but I cut them all up.
You what?
I cut them all up.
How's your credit?
Don't tell him anything.
My credit is business.
Don't tell him anything, Tracy.
No, what do you mean it's none of my business? Are you buying a coffee?
Yes, you need to do. You need to just go ahead and put those coffee mugs in your house
every
and build
time
you a
America,
nice wall with
Every
them.
Time America puts a team on the international stage, they suck. And every time that I put my money into the U.S. hockey team, jail rape. I put my money into the U.S. I put my money into the U.S. soccer team, jail rape. I put my money into the U.S. women's hockey team a couple of years ago, jail rape. I'm getting sick of it. Now somebody's going to buy it. Now,
it sounds like you better go into another line of work.
I want to know what your credit rating is, please.
You probably need to
go
into another line of work.
No, what? I'm going to sell you a gun.
And watch your language, okay?
She's not laughing at me taking in the shorts for $500,000. Do you laugh at me?
He makes a lot of reference to taking it in the shorts.
Hey, let me tell you something.
I think you must take it there.
Is that right?
You must.
I had a truck driven up me sideways, and you're sitting out there laughing about it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's Bob, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Anthony. Anthony, hi.
Hey, is this Phil?
Yeah, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'll tell you, to everybody out there who doesn't know, if you call the Phil Henry Show, you get to turn your cell phone into like a handy-dandy walkabout radio. It's kind of interesting. I was mainly calling in regards
Why?
To your quitting smoking comment.
Wait, oh,
earlier.
You put you on hold?
Well, yeah, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been walking around in public with Phil Henry in my ear for the last 20 minutes, and it's been quite amusing,
okay.
Snickering and lines and whatnot. Did you quit smoking all the way, or are you still smoking?
Yeah, pretty much. I puff a weed every now and again, but it's I don't think that I'm nowhere near what I used to be. How is that for a bullcrap answer? The answer is probably, well, no, not totally, no.
Well, but, you know, not totally is a hell of a lot better than not at all, and a lot more plausible and possible than totally. And that's mainly why I was calling, is if you ended up with an iron lung or smoking so damn much that you weren't on the air anymore, it would kind of drag on my life.
You're not selling some kind of a quit fast program, are you?
No.
Just the program for you.
Yeah. Right? I've been trying to quit smoking for years myself.
How old are you?
Couldn't do it.
How old are you?
I'm 28. Been smoking for 15 years. I've been trying seriously to quit for the last 5 and couldn't do it. Every time I would throw the cigarettes out, I would get a few beers in me and be at a bar and be like, oh, bum me a cigarette. Next thing you know, you're buying a whole crate from the guy over the counter and you're smoking yourself stupid because you gave up on the trial of trying to quit. Finally, my doctor told me, don't quit. Just carry a pack around with you. Only smoke when you really, really want one. I'm down to about 2 cigarettes a day, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to live a hell of a lot longer smoking 2 cigarettes a day than I would smoking a pack a day.
Well, what does he mean, only when you really, really want one? I don't get that. That's
like... Well, in other words, I would, on my drive to work, there was my doorway of opportunity to smoke a cigarette, so I would smoke one because who knew how long it was going to be before I get another one. Did I really want one? No.
I was just taking
advantage of the opportunity.
So you how do you know whether you want one or not? You see what I'm saying? So you're telling me that you knew you didn't really want that cigarette, but you were smoking it now to get the nicotine into your lungs because you wouldn't be able to smoke in the office?
Well, you tell me. I mean, when you're walking into the studio, which you can't smoke when you're sitting there with all that equipment in front of you, wouldn't you hork down a couple more on your way in the door than usual when you knew it would be a few more hours before you got a chance to smoke again?
How do you know I can't smoke in here? You're right, but how do you know?
There's no way you're carrying on 3 voices with a cigar hanging out of your mouth at the same damn time.
Something about OSHA standards, too.
You can smoke with a hard hat on.
I smoke maybe 3 cigarettes during the day. Before I walk into the building, and then I take a break for lunch, and then before I go on the air, and that's about it.
But how much did you smoke back in the day? Were you a pack?
Oh, back in the day, I was approaching 2 packs.
What, a day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was brutal, man. I started smoking when I was 14.
Wow.
And I smoked through high school, and, you know, my most successful efforts at quitting probably, like you, sometime in my 20s, one time in my 30s, I quit again in my 40s, and I'll probably be coming up on another big run at it here
soon.
I'll
tell you what, you know, I feel honored to be on the phone with you this long and not have been completely ripped in half by you yet.
What are you talking about? I don't rip people in half.
In half all the damn time. That's why I listen to you. I did want to ask you, though, trying to do this voice juggling and stuff all of the time, I realize that you got a little bit of delay working with the radio, but being a smoker and trying to do 2 and 3 voices at a time, was that part of what put in your face that, damn, I can't do this anymore, or did you just do it for health purposes?
Health purposes. I can do anything I want to do, but, you know, within reason. No, health purposes.
Very cool.
I can do the voice thing. That's easy. I know how to do that. It ain't about breath control necessarily, although a lot of it is. Well, anyway, man, thank you.
One last question. What's next for Phil Henry, man, aside from AM radio?
Yeah, I think films, I'd like to go, I want to be with Lance up there in space. I want to be the guy putting the ball gag in his mouth.
Exactly. You just want to get alone and trade off with Lance.
I'd like to trade off with the Russian cosmonauts on Lance.
There you go. You can smoke a few cigars with him up there.
There you go.
A few records.
And then I want to river dance with Shaq. But other than that, cool.
Hey, man, it was nice talking
to you.
You're responsible for thousands of accidents every day. Keep it up.
Goody, thanks. Bye. Crazy, man. But I do believe in my heart of hearts that I will eventually just eliminate the entire thing. You know, I don't know. My mom smoked till she was 65 or something. She's still kicking. She's freaking 89. I don't know. I know it's genetic, and I know it's the this and the that. I got a friend of mine. He's in his late 60s. He's smoking. He's the guy's in the peak of health. It's sickening, isn't it? It's disgusting. It's fantastic. 1-800-449-8686. What is next for Phil Hendry? Well, we got that TV show coming soon. Couple of ideas here, a few ideas there. You know, it's really an interesting world, the world of television, and the reason why I bring it up is it's much easier in a lot of ways than radio, and it's much, much more difficult. First of all, it's easier to put a TV show together than a daily radio show. I really believe it is. But to be a successful guy in television is probably easier, or is probably much tougher than it is in radio. I've been hanging on here for like how many years? 30 years in the radio business? What do you think? I'd spend about 4 seconds in television before I get my ass kicked out of there. Not that I can't stand in front of a camera and run my big yap forever. I would never, ever not know what to say or do in front of a television camera. But not that it would be successful. By the way, the Osbournes, would you do me a favor, and I really don't want to hit this too hard. Would you just show Ozzy? Would you just please just show him? Because he's interesting. His kids aren't. And his wife ain't. And I'm going to tell you, and you may not like what I'm about to say, and Sharon, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, would you quit playing to the camera? The only guy in that family that ain't playing to the camera is Ozzy Osbourne himself. He doesn't give a crap whether there's a camera there or a cannon. He's just shuffling around looking for the cat, you know, having a sip, giving crap. But the kids and the mother and the nanny, and that nanny, what's up with that? They absolutely, they're playing to that camera, and it's killing your show. That I let you know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray is going to join us for just a moment here from her office in Santa Monica, because I know that this was important to you, Margaret. Ann Landers passed on. Legendary advice columnist Ann Landers, whose, quote, snappy, plain-spoken suggestions helped millions, dies at 83. Margaret, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yes.
Tell us about it. I'm not familiar with her. Forgive me.
Well, she was a part of a different generation, Phil. She and her sister, Abigail Van Buren. But for millions of us that used the newspaper business as our springboard into the rest of the entertainment world, Anne was very much an inspiration for me. It was difficult, though, for me, because I found what she did to be exciting, but the things that she wrote about I thought was wrong, and I used to write her letters when I was a young writer telling her this.
Well, what did she do?
Well, I loved Ann Landers, don't get me wrong, but she wrote an advice column, and every morning it was filled with advice, it was filled with health advice, and there was always some reference about discharges and this kind of a thing.
No, was she a doctor?
No, Ann Landers was not a doctor. She was an advice columnist, but she had... She would give advice about, well, she gave advice about venereal disease, gonorrhea, this kind of thing.
And I'm sorry, you said gonorrhea?
Yes.
In the newspaper?
Yes, but I have to tell you something, Phil. She did it with class. She did it with style. She was able to write about oils and pus filled zits. It was really, I don't know how she did it, but I was glued to it every morning at breakfast. And the thing that...
What Ann Landers were talking about.
Yes.
I had no idea. I thought she wrote an advice column.
No, she wrote a column. Yes, she wrote an advice column.
But it was about health.
Yes. Yes. But there, the worst letters from people... A lady wrote in, I'll never forget, from Massachusetts. And she said, I wake up every morning with a green-yellow fluid coming out of my ear. And Ann would go off on these marvelous... Different.
Oh, my God.
No, but it was really...
No, how could you... for breakfast.
I know, but honestly, I wanted to be a newspaper writer so bad that I would sit just mesmerized at how lyrical, how colorful she was in explaining to this woman how to drain an infected a gland, an anal gland, for instance.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Look at. Was Abigail Van Buren, her sister, the one who did the advice on love?
Yes, Abby did that, but Anne had a different one. She did health advice. And so
she did health advice?
Yes, she did. You didn't know that?
No, I did not. I'm not familiar with either one of these ladies. I just know that Ann Landers has passed on.
She was brilliant, and she was a marvelous, marvelous, wonderful, wonderful writer who did such inspirational things. She was lyrical. She was beautifully floral in her language. When describing, for instance, a man needing to catheterize his penis, he did it...
Okay, you know something? I'm...
Phil, what I'm trying to say...
Yeah, I know, but it's just... It's bothering me, and it's...
What? Oh, I see. Catheterizing a penis...
Yeah, that's just... I don't want to hear about it, okay? I don't... Nah.
But she swathed a path through the jungle of journalism like a true pioneer, and she wrote me a letter once, and it was a lovely, lovely letter. She said to me, when you lance the boil on your ass...
No, I... Please...
But, Phil, it was personal...
I understand, but I don't need to know her writing you about lancing a boil.
Phil, I framed that letter...
Well, you may have framed the letter, and it's fine. I just...
Holy Jesus, you're jealous.
No, now, wait a minute. Why would I be jealous?
Well, you're not letting me say anything about...
I don't want to know about how Ann Landers sent you a letter giving you advice on how to lance a boil.
On my ass.
Yeah, on there. There you go. Thank you.
So, in other words, you're angry. Why?
I'm not angry. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Well, ask Matt Drudge if you want to know, because he'll tell you she was a killer. She was everything you'd want to be as a writer and more. And Phil, she was in 1,200 newspapers. How many radio stations are you on? How many, Phil?
I'm on 85.
Oh, 85. Ann Landers, 1,200 newspapers. So suck on that. You're jealous because Anne was in 1,200 markets talking about lancing a boil and you're not.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I want to do.
But if it got you on in 1,200 markets?
Yes, I would talk about it.
Well, there you go.
1-800-449-8686. Thank you very much, Margaret, for...
For what?
For ruining my dinner. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Margaret Gray about Ann Landers. Her twin sister, Pauline, was also a professional writer.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, great.
You know, Phil, you really have to read the piece. It was October 6th, 1965, on how to get rid of head lice. Now, what she said was...
Do I have to hear it, or can I just read about it?
Well, it's in her collected works.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray talking about a writer that I'm not familiar with, Ann Landers, who passed on, God rest her soul, at the age of 83. A big influence on Margaret. I had no idea that Ann Landers wrote such a graphic health advice column, How to Lance Boils and Get Rid of Head Lice. And I thought she was the same as her sister who did the love thing, right? The love advice? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm with Margaret Gray, a nationally syndicated columnist. We're talking in this last few minutes of this hour about Ann Landers. And again, a lot of us don't know exactly who she was, but you say she was a columnist that gave some kind of health advice.
Yeah, well, Phil, you know Dear Abby.
I know she was Dear Abby's sister. I know all of that. But I thought that they were in common somehow with the advice they gave.
No. Abby gave out romance advice. And Anne gave out advice on different health aspects, whether it was a case of, and I'm sure that if you've ever, Phil, worked out at a public gym, for instance.
Yeah.
And you'll go into the locker and you'll put your clothes on or what have you, and the next morning you find that you have things living in your pubic hair with a...
Okay, now, see, this is...
All right, you don't want me to be graphic.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm talking about crabs.
I know what you're talking about. So you're telling me she gave out advice about crabs, Lansing boils, gonorrhea...
Yeah, you know, I don't know why you're getting upset, Phil. You know, it's funny. It's really funny, and it never ceases to amaze me. We're running out of heroes, Phil. Rush Limbaugh got on his program today and blubbered like a big, round, beautifully powdered baby because Jack Buck died. And I, of course, applauded for that. I come on the air to talk about Ann Landers, and you're screaming at me, yelling at me. Don't talk about Lansing Boyle. That's what she did, and it's about time that we allow ourselves to praise our heroes and to give them the accolades they deserve. And I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't mean to yell.
All right,
Jesus, I mean, I come on here, but Rush Limbaugh gets to go on his program. I saw him, by the way, on the closed circuit that he has, his Limbaugh vision, which I always love to watch. And there he was, blubbering and quivering and the shoulders going... when Jason J. Delmonico was born, I'll never forget, he was so gorgeous, he'd lay there in that bassinet and go, that was Rush for a half hour on his show.
Oh, bull crap.
Oh, really? Bet me.
I'm betting you. For a half hour.
For a half hour, he was quivering and shaking like a lost little lamb. God bless you, Rush. And now all I want to do is talk about Ann Landers, and you sit there and scold me, and I'm perplexed, I'm puzzled, I don't...
Okay, let me tell you this much. I've always had kind of a weak stomach, I guess. Okay? You know, I wanted to be a doctor when I was a kid.
I know that. I know. You shared that with me. Have you shared that with your audience?
No, I haven't. When I was very young, I wanted to be a doctor. In fact, I wasted my time taking Latin in high school.
I think that's a beautiful story, Phil.
But I found out that I was squeamish.
You were squeamish, and I understand that. But does that mean because Phil Hendry is squeamish, we can't honor a great writer?
No, you're right.
So can I go on and talk about what... Ann did a wonderful column once.
Let me just... Can you hold on for a minute?
What?
I just want to hold my breath because I don't know what's coming.
You really are squeamish.
Yes, I am. So can I just get prepared here?
Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, she had an interesting column about a new lemon douche, and... Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so, well, first of all, you know that right now, in our society, Phil, my husband, he had... Well, you remember when Frank had the motorcycle accident and the green pus was coming out of his leg? Phil, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, anyway, from her best-selling collection of short stories, Draining Anal Sacks, she said... What is going on?
I can't do it.
All right, let me just sing the song that I wanted to sing for Anne.
Go ahead.
Are you all right?
No.
Anne, this is for you. Oh, isn't it rich? Aren't we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? There with your liver bile dripping.
Okay, I can't do it, all right? I can't do it.
You ruined a wonderful song.
Well, that may be. When you hit the liver bile line, man, I was done, okay?
Well, can I finish?
Go ahead and finish it, all right?
Send in the pus draining equipment.
Okay, that's good. Sorry, but... First of all, I don't buy it at all. I think Ann Landers was a writer of much higher merit than... Not that the writing about health problems isn't any good, but I'm sure she was a writer of much higher merit than than that. 1-800-449-8686 here at the Phil Henry Show. See, my wife's got this thing. Maria can talk about crap like that. She'll say to me, "Hey, honey, look at that." "Yeah, what is it?" "Looks like it's a dead, no, it's a coyote. Is that a coyote out there that got run over by a truck with its guts up and down the road?" "I don't know, man, I can't." "Come on, look, see?" "No, I don't want to look." It's my wife. She's always fascinated with grotesque things. "Is that, look, ooh, God, look at that. Ah, it's like a slug, but it's not, wow, what do you think that is?" "I don't know, I don't want to talk about it." "Oh, come on, here are the burgers, by the way, go for a barbecue." "I'm, yeah, it's just, I don't want to say." It's disgusting. But I did want to be a doctor early on in my life, and I took Latin in high school. Biggest waste of my time that has ever occurred, taking Latin. And I can certainly sympathize with my third oldest who's taking Latin because they couldn't get him into Spanish. You know, anybody out there ever taken Latin? Well, back in the day, they said you needed Latin to be a doctor because doctors wrote their scripts in Latin or some form of Latin. So like a dumbass, I sat there at LaSalle High School, Pasadena, California, and I took Latin for a year from Brother Giles. And no guy in the history of the planet was ever less suited for taking a language than that, than me, taking Latin. I sat there and I couldn't get declensions, I couldn't get the nouns, I didn't know verbs, and I often wished that I'd taken something like anything I could use, Spanish, Swahili, I don't care, you know, Vulcan, I mean, any one of them, man, you can use. Latin, forget it. I mean, there's some people who can speak Latin. There's some people who are so good with languages that they can speak Latin, they speak ancient Greek, they can do Italian. Do you never know these people? My wife speaks Spanish. She speaks a little bit of German. Two of my kids are speaking fairly fluent Spanish, and I couldn't find it with both hands and a freaking flashlight in a closet, man. I'm still down there in Mexico going, what's the word for water? Agua caliente. And then, of course, I told you all the stories about France. You don't leave. Nothing makes you look dumber than not knowing the language of the land that you're in. Nothing in the world makes you look dumber. And as Americans, we believe that English is the only real language we should know. And I agree that in our country, English should be the only language truly that we should know from an official standpoint. You want to speak Spanish? Go ahead and speak Spanish. When I get a Department of Motor Vehicle driver's handbook, when I get some kind of public, printing job from the government, I want it to be in English, okay? So all of the what? What do you want? I'm on here. I'm trying to wrap up my show.
I want to
what?
I want to sing the song.
You want to sing the what? The song to Ann Landers?
Yes. You cut me off, and I want to
you're singing about liver bile.
She's dead, Phil, which is more than I can say. Or she, you can say more than... Would you know what I mean?
All right, I'm alive, which is more than she can say.
I'm just trying to show you what it's like when Russia's crying for Jack Buck.
Yeah, okay. Sing your song for Ann Landers. I was in the middle of telling my story about wanting to be a doctor.
I'm sorry, here it is. Oh, isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clowns. Do 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 do. Cling ling ling cling ling ling.
What are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
That's the piano break, Phil. I don't have a piano, so I'm having to.
Go ahead.
Cling ding ding cling ling ling. Oh, isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns.
It's actually very lovely, Margaret.
Thank you. Just when I saw a boil on my ass.
Okay. There you go. I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. I knew that I was not going to be able to. Now I got to go home and make dinner tonight, huh?
You with venereal warts, me?
Forget it. So there you go. That's the Phil Henry Show. We just reduced Ann Landers down to a woman that wrote a column about Lansing boils. No, I'm sure she was great. My mom liked her. Matt's mom liked her. Jeff's mom liked her. Janice's mother doesn't miss her. Well, she will now. Chris's mom likes her. All moms like Ann Landers and Dear Abby. So God bless you guys. And long life, Abby. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. You got to pick up that Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. They're available online now. The Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. And on July the 4th, the top 100 calls of the year. In order as we count them down July 4th on the Phil Henry Show.